privilege to be a part of the greatest thing on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto Him and bless His name tonight. What a mighty God. What a great privilege to be in the house of God on a Thursday night. And I just got to tell you, I don't know what day it is because we're all discombobulated in this schedule this week. But I feel the presence of God in this house. I feel the promise of God here. I feel the wind of prophecy blowing through this place in our lives tonight. And this is a very significant moment in the things of the Spirit. And I am so glad to be in the house of God tonight. I'm glad for where God's brought us from, and I'm glad for the plan that He has for today and tomorrow. I'm just glad that they let me in. Tonight we are thrilled to have in the house with us Sister Bobby Wendell, and veteran missionary and ministry to the Apostolic Church for decades now. I was telling her before service that I remember as a brand new convert back in the Louisiana district at the camp at Tioga, and she was telling the story of those early days in Ethiopia, and it moved us down to the depth of our souls. And she's part of the tapestry of our faith and part of the tapestry of our connectivity to the kingdom of God. It's so awesome to have her in the house tonight, veteran and just a hero in the Apostolic Church tonight. Let's clap our hands for Sister Bobby Wendell. What God has given us in these gifts. Praise God. Tonight we are thrilled and delighted to open this conference with our good friend Brother Doug Walker. And he's come a long way, and we're so delighted to have him in this place. And we have a covenant with you tonight. We've come with an expectation that the Holy Ghost will speak to us tonight. And that's all that we want. We want to hear from God. Is there an amen in the house? We'd like God to have His way. And I don't care what God says. We want to hear it. Somebody point at Him right now and you tell Him, preach to me, preacher. Brother Walker, we want you to come and we want you to take your liberty tonight. We love you and we love what God is doing in your ministry. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Man, it is a distinct honor tonight to be in the house of God and to especially be in this sanctuary. Amen. I appreciate everything that God has allowed in connecting us together. It's a wonderful thing. And I was telling Pastor Collins today that there are some times that I go because I feel like God wants me to leave something there for them. Other times I go because I distinctly feel like God has put them in my life that I can get something from them. And that's the way I feel about this church. And Pastor Sutton and Brother Collins, I love their family. And I just love all of them and appreciate what God is doing in our life. Amen. God is a great God, and He deserves all the praise. Amen. He's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Looking forward to the rest of this. If you'll turn with me in your Bible to the book of Psalm, the 42nd chapter. Amen. Psalm chapter 42. And I want to take just a moment and talk to you from my heart. Psalm 42. Let's read. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. So then he answers back and says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember thee from the land of Jordan. Go down to verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. How many know God's going to help you no matter what? Amen, amen. I believe that. Man, tonight I want to preach to you for a few moments on the anatomy of melancholy. The anatomy of melancholy. I'm going to look real quick and dig into what makes this world suffer from their depressions and what makes us different in the fact and the distinction, not that we don't go through things, but it's how we go through them and it's how we get out of them. Let's lift our hands and ask the Lord one more time. Jesus, would you help us tonight? Would you give us an anointing? Would you touch this place in Jesus' name? God bless you tonight. You may be seated. Amen. In looking at this subject, the Lord speaks to them and says that he has answers for them. And I believe that God has answers for people. And so this is a world that's struggling, not because they don't know the problems. They know the problems. You can read books, and there are writers that are gifted and masterful at laying out the sequence of the problems. And they dig into the anatomy of what the nature and the physical part of what it is that is going on inside of mental depressions and struggles. And the Bible teaches us that it rains on the just and the unjust. So it doesn't matter if you're on this side of the wall or you're out there. You're going to have struggles in life. You're going to have rain, and you're going to have issues in your home and in your family. But there's something that's different about us. Amen. Now, just for the sake of accuracy, I want to tell you that I did not come up with this title on my own. I actually have taken this from Richard Burton's book, written in 1621, from the same title, The Anatomy of Melancholy. He began to look into the societal woes that was in his culture and in his society, and he began to dig into what makes people depressed, what makes people this way. Now, I want to tell you something. Before I even get started tonight, I want to tell you that the term depressed Christian is a paradox to me. I just don't understand it, because I believe you can get down, but you get out of that as quick as you can, because the power of God is in you. I'm not limiting that there is spiritual woes and there are real problems in our life. I'm telling you, we're going to go through spiritual depressions and physical depressions and maladies, but there's a God in us that's bigger than that. Amen. Amen. In another book that was written by Pascal, he referred to it as man's condition of that inconstancy and boredom and anxiety. Samuel Butler didn't mince words when he said boredom is the bane of humanity. He wrote and said that a man who lets himself be bored is even more contemptible than the man who will bore somebody. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. This, you would think that in a time, an hour of overstimulation and the hour of entertainment, that we wouldn't have that problem. But we do. We do, because entertaining is not the answer for our generation. They're digging into what is melancholy and what is this that is going on. Now, they wrote these books and they wrote these things. If you look at a certain writer, William Cowper, he writes The Dark Night of the Soul. John Steinbeck, the famous novel, The Winter of Our Discontent. T.H. Wright wrote The Malady of Not Wanting. Man, just you're so bored and so uninitiated in the hunger and desire for life that it just kind of wanes in you and you say it doesn't matter. There's a term that came to a great level of popularity in the 90s and late 90s, early 2000s. It was a term, just one word, just whatever. And that was almost a catchphrase of that that little synopsis of time, that we were so disengaged in what was going on that it was just a whatever attitude. And so when you look at Psalm 42, he was going through the dark soul of the night, or as Steinbeck would say, the winter of our discontent, or as Burton would say, the anatomy of melancholy. But there is a distinct difference between how the chief musician goes through that and how they that are falling into self-evaluation goes through it. He looked at it and he said, my heart is not less hungry, it's more hungry for God. The more I struggle internally, the more I want and hunger for revival and true apostolic impact in my life. It's not the less I want God, it's the more that I want God. It's not the less that I'm doing this, but it's absolutely the more of it I want. Now, there is another book that I have done and taken much of the research that I've done for the things that I'm going to say tonight. I'm not giving a lecture, and I'm not going to give a lot of citations, but these things that I'm going to preach tonight, I've not just rattled them off the top of my head. Man, there's a book that I have looked at, and it's called Still Bored in a Culture of Entertainment. It deals with the two strands of this subject, which is laziness, which leads to a lethargy or a depression. And so when you're looking at a movement and a society, it is incumbent on us to deal with those moments in our life where we ask the big questions. Where is God when it hurts? As Yancey wrote. And you ask the question of, why am I here and what am I doing on this earth? If you do not deal with the melancholy of the soul and pray through that dark night of the soul, you will end up being spiritually depressed and saying they have all the blessing and they get all the opportunities and they have all the anointing, but not me. I do not believe that tonight. I believe that every one of you in this room are called for higher purpose. I believe you're a bridge to some course of the revival in the last days that we cannot have without you. Don't come to church and say they'll worship. No, you're the bridge we need. I'm the bridge that you need. We have to look at every one of us and say, I am an integral part. If I leave it on them to do it, if I leave it on them prior, man, to this time that we're living in, they would look and say, it's my responsibility to make a difference. 1776, they gathered in Philadelphia and said, it's our time. It's our turn. This is our moment. I've come to preach to New Life tonight. This is your moment, and this is your time. This isn't just for Brother Sutton or Brother Collins. This is for every single one of you in this congregation tonight to make a difference. Paul talked about a certain situation in his church, and he said that when your faith is increased, then my ministry is going to be expanded to those that are beyond you. I believe tonight that every single one of you are a bridge to somebody we can't reach without you. That means that it doesn't matter if there's 500 and there's 498 that show up. You missing is still taking down an integral part. That's why we've got to buy into this thing and say, I am the church. There's a difference in coming to church and being the church. They can't do that without me. They can't have church the way they need to without me. You got to buy in to what God's doing through you in this last day. And so he looks at this
And prior to the 19th century, people took responsibility for their own feelings and believed that melancholy, it was a result of some thing they were dealing with, but they had to do something. They were prepared to sacrifice their own self-interest and satisfaction to help others. They expected that life would be hard and at times tedious. But in this moment today we're living, we're running for the path of least resistance. Can I tell you, life's going to be hard at times, and you're not always going to feel saved, but it doesn't matter how I feel, I am saved. The Bible didn't say praise Him in a dance when you feel it. The Bible said praise Him in a dance. It doesn't matter how I feel. I've got to get in and be the bridge that God wants me to be. And if I build everything on feelings, then what's going to happen is I'm going to get into a roller coaster ride, and it's just going to be like I'm on the tail end of this thing, and I'm going to get whiplash by trying to live for God on feelings. I don't come to church to feel good. I appreciate it when I feel good when I'm here, but I don't come to church to feel good. I come to church to think right. The last thing I want to do is feel good when I'm not thinking right. But if I come in here and think right, I'll feel good on Monday when the lights go out and the music is quiet. I've got to get rid of this melancholy that's killing my vision. Now, you have to have a higher motive for enduring unhappiness. You got to have a higher reason for enduring the struggle when it comes. You got to believe that life in the hereafter will be considerably better, and that you are not here just to have an easy life. You're here to save somebody. 50 years ago, self-sacrifice was what we was preaching. Man, I read my grandfather's notes and notes of old elders, and they were preaching, give up yourself that you may make an impact in the world. Brother and sister, this isn't all about how I feel tonight. So well, I don't feel like an evangelist. It doesn't matter how I feel. I am one. I don't feel like a preacher. I don't feel like a Bible study teacher. I don't feel like a prayer warrior. It doesn't matter how I feel. That's what my calling is. There's a lot of days I don't feel like what I'm supposed to feel, but I'm supposed to be who God called me to be. And if we let the melancholy of this society right now begin to dominate our thinking, we will never be the church of global impact. We have to look at the anatomy of this sadness and this malady of the mind and of the spirit that's in our last day generation. And in this hour today, we are more overstimulated by entertainment than any generation in the world. And the number one thing we're dealing with is boredom. What that is man looking inside of his self over and over and over and over again. The answer is not in me. The answer is what is out there above me and that can live inside of me and replace who I am. It's called regeneration. It's not called a new and improved better me. It's called a whole new me. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. There are days you're not going to feel like doing this. And there are days you're not going to feel like preaching and feel like teaching your Bible study. But you must rise above your feelings and you must look beyond who you are and say, God, why is my soul like this? The Bible speaks in this chapter of this hour of discontent and this melancholy that come from him. He said that he, in the bottom of this idea here in Psalm 42 and 2, my soul thirsteth after God. My soul wants God. Listen, you got to hold a belief that your reason and purpose for living in the present is better than what you're going through. There's a reason I'm living this way. So he said, I wouldn't live for God for nothing. I'm not. I'm living for God for everything. Man, it may be hard, but I'm able to go through some things in my life because of what God called me to be. We have to get so immersed in the call of God in our life. We are way too in touch with ourself right now. We are way too in touch with what self thinks. We've got to talk to ourself and not about ourself. You got a generation that lives in absolute self-expression. That's what YouTube is. YouTube is the largest social media in the world. I think the runner-up coming quickly is Amazon. Everybody thinks it's Twitter and Facebook and MySpace. Let me tell you something. It isn't any of that. Media that is sociable. When you go to buy a book, if you go buy the book that I just talked about, bored, is still bored in an age of entertainment. That social media, that you go to buy that book, you can't just buy that book. You got to see its ratings when you go on Amazon. You got to look down there what everybody thinks about it, because media is constantly vying for your attention and your allegiance. Believe what I believe. Think what I think. This is the best thing. This is the greatest thing you'll ever read. This is the greatest product you'll ever have. You know what you need? You need something that contacts the God of heaven and says, where do I get my moral compass and my inside direction? We've got to be immersed in a call from God. Man, the reason that they could do this and endure so much more is that they had significantly higher hope. They had a greater reason and purpose for living through suffering than just felt needs. I want to feel good, but I don't want to feel good at the expense of just medicating my mind or numbing my mind or becoming so disengaged that I cannot make an impact in my life. That's why we live in a generation, an hour, when they've taken the cause out of cause and effect, and now it's just effect and effect. We're dealing with the outcomes, but we're not dealing with the problem down inside. You are the answer the world is looking for. Your little Bible study chart has the answer. Your Bible has the answer. Your prayer life has the answer. Your commitment has the answer. And what you see is you see an overanalyzation of outcomes, almost an obsession with outcomes, and an absolute abhorrence to dealing with the nature of the problem at hand. That is why, and I'm not weighing in onto this one way or another, I'm just adding a second and third dimension to the subject matter. That is why every time you hear of a mass or active shooter situation, they run to the outcome and ban the guns, ban the inanimate object that is morally neutral in the sense that it can do damage or not do damage, but it's controlled by the outcomes of human behavior. But they run to the morally neutral and inanimate object, and they will never let you hear. Amen. The high percentage of those that are engaged in that kind of debauchery and those acts of cruelty, they will not tell you that the majority of them are on mind-altering psych drugs that have a list of subsidiary outcomes and side effects that read like the catalog of that which is macabre. I'm telling you right now, there's more to these issues than just somebody pulling a trigger. There's a society that needs God. If you look just one layer dimension past this, you will find that that same subject matter is expanded to one more layer of dimension, and that is that the large majority of them that sat there and making their minds to do what technology has allowed them and society has afforded them to do, that they have spent the months leading up to those egregious acts of cruelty. Most of them out of their minds on psych drugs and playing some order of devious debauchery on their PlayStation or gaming device that is just nothing but a digitized cycle of the same death and destruction that they will now go out and act out in real life what they've been living in their online life for the last 6 months. This society needs an answer. They need something more than more stimulation. They need something more than a better movie. They need something more than better music. They need something more than more light shows. They need something that deals with the inside problem of spiritual depression. That's not going to come by just topically medicating them. That's not going to come by just getting them to mute and getting them to quiet down. That's going to come from an atmosphere that is a microcosm of the macrocosm of God's glory. And when they walk in an apostolic church, they are confronted head on with reason and purpose for why I'm on this planet and what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. They don't find that in the academic circle. They don't find that in the secular circle. They don't find that in the career circle. They find that in the Pentecostal movement that says you are the answer for the situation today. This, man, when we lose our hope, we lose our reason and our purpose. When this is lost, our endurance or will to survive is lost. When we do not have reason and hope, we lose our will to live. Backsliders are not backsliding because they hate you. They're backsliding because they have no hope, and the devil has convinced them, you don't matter in this church. You don't matter in this movement. You can backslide tomorrow and nobody's going to know it. I'm going to tell you something. Heaven's going to weep about it. God is going to be troubled by it. The preachers are going to be handicapped by it. The church is going to be debilitated. Yes, you are the reason that we're able to have church at this level. Your prayer life matters. Your commitment matters. Your anointing matters. You've got to throw off that spirit that you're just one in a crowd and you don't matter. You really matter. Young man, when you're sitting on the precipice of decision, deciding of whether or not you're going to go to Hope Corps or not, do you understand that that could mean the difference between life and death for many people in this world? What does it matter if I do this? What does it matter? It matters everything, whether or not you're committing at that level. Well, what does it matter if I'm at off-service prayer night? You know what? It may not be a heaven or hell issue for you. I'll give you that. You may not go to hell because you missed that. You may not go to hell because you don't teach a Bible study every week. You may not go to hell because you don't have a daily prayer life. But what about the ones that are going to go to hell if I'm not on fire for God that I'm supposed to reach? It's a heaven or hell issue for them. It may not be a heaven or hell issue for me, but it's a heaven or hell issue for those that God has appointed for me to be the conduit of grace and the manuscript of mercy that they're supposed to read in their life from a living oracle. Brother, you matter. And when the world tells you that you don't, and when the world says it doesn't matter, you need purpose, you need meaning in your life, and that means it makes a difference. It matters, and it is of importance. The self, in order to keep from falling into itself, needs purpose, reason, and meaning. You know why people become self-obsessed? No, they're narcissistic. They go back and look at themselves. No. I mean, there's application there, but that's not the true anatomy of the melancholy there. The real problem is that they can't find a reason to live. So they go back to stare at their own reflection and ask, why am I here and what am I supposed to be doing? But when reason and calling and spiritual transformation is a continuum in your life, all of a sudden you cease to look within yourself for the answers and you start reaching towards heaven and say, I am that which is the bridge between what is grace and what is disgusting debauchery in this world. God looked at Moses and said, put your hand inside your garment. He puts his hand inside of himself. He pulls it out and he's leprous. The more I reach inside myself, the sicker I get. Leprosy is a type of sin. The more I dig in and try to feel out, how do I feel about this? What's my nuances of this? What do I feel? I get more depressed. I get more narrow-minded. I get weaker in the flesh and weaker in the mind and weaker in the spirit until pretty soon there's a predominant weakness that's prevailing. But when I pull my hand out and I lift my hands towards heaven, I start getting purpose that says, that's why you're alive tonight. Man, that's what Ecclesiastes 2 and verse number 10 and 11 deal with. What Ecclesiastes is dealing with is the vanity of life. That says if you're not connected to great purpose, and you have to believe in yourself that you are the reason that we're able to have church at this level. If not, then why am I here? Well, you know, you're just a number. No, I'm not. I'm a child of God, made in the image of God. Amen. Well, you're just one-dimensional. Don't ever think that, honey. You're multifaceted. You have creativity in you. You have the ability to speak. God spoke things into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. You speak. The power of life and death is in the tongue. The power of what you can do is in your mouth. And when you begin to speak life and you begin to speak the gospel, things begin to break. Don't let them make you a paper version. Don't let them make you a paper cutout of a Christianity. You're better than that. You walk. You dance. You raise your hands. And when you walk in the house of God, you have so many wide-ranging emotions, and you're complex. You're not, well, this person's complex, I'm not. No, you're made in the image of God. Every one of you is just bursting with complexity, and you got to get that complexity linked to the glory of God and the complexity of the many faceted ways of His grace's ministry in your life. Don't you just bring one version of you in here. Bring all of your situations. Man, somebody will tell you, they'll say to you, you know, you're they think that's a real bad deal if someone says they're two-faced, as if they're somehow different than all the rest of us. If anybody ever says you're two-faced, or that person's two-faced, just start laughing. Say, oh no, they're not. They got thousands of faces, and none of you two-faced. I mean, they act like that's a bad thing. He's two-faced, you know, like he's, you know, how many faces do you have? Well, let me tell you something. In the Hebrew, when in your Hebrew Bible, when it says face, and it's talking about you, it uses the plural version of it. It's panim. Im is plurality. Faces. Myriads of faces. You got a bunch of faces, brother. I'm not two-faced. I don't know how many faces I have, but I got a bunch of them. There's only one singular allocation of the word faces, and that's when you look towards God, that His face, singular, would shine upon my faces. You know why? Because your face has all these 27 paper-thin muscles that contort, and they laugh, it cries, it's depressed, it's angry, it's moody. It has melancholy. That your face can show that you're down in the dumps and that you're struggling that week. And if you get in your idea, well, I only got one face, and you bring your church face, only thing you're getting is your church face showered with church. But brother, you got to bring all them faces before the glory of God. I need my melancholy to be in this service. I need my doubt to be in this service. I need all them faces that are attached to my emotions to come in here and let your light shine on all of my faces. But see, the world's trying to dumb you down. The world's trying to oversimplify those that have the answer to the complex situations. The world and all of their work is to try to get the problem so complex and you so simple that you're so one-dimensional. Who are you to think you can fix this great, august body of problems? I'll tell you who I think I am. I'm a child of God full of the Holy Ghost. I was in a prayer room, and the Lord spoke to me and said, they need faith, they need joy, they need the peace of God. And you begin to walk out of that prayer room, and people are going to say, what degree do you have? What right do you have? I have the touch of the Holy Ghost in my life. Therefore, I do have an answer for these complex problems. Man, I've been mentioning this few places I've been going, but don't anybody here ever hear Flat Stanley? you know, the kid's book where Flat Stanley's a cutout guy. He's a human, looks like a human, but he's kind of cut out and he just lays there and props up and stands up and he doesn't have any life. He doesn't have, that's the way people are living in Christianity. That's the way it is. That's a Flat Stanley version of being a Christian. Yes, that's Christ. That's church. You are going to church. But if you're laying out there like you're a cutout in some crime scene, how real is that? Not very real. But when the Holy Ghost animates that and raises you up to a new creature, you begin to engage in the problems of your society. You begin to get involved in your community. You begin to get involved in your church and say, no, I'm not one dimensional. I've got a bunch of reasons to be in the house of God. And so the spiritual depression that we're dealing with in people that are bogging down in this, man, the self, in spite of an ever heightened self-consciousness, increased leisure, ever more access to culture and recreational activities and facilities, ever more instruction on self-help, self-growth, self-enrichment, yet the self feels more imprisoned inside of itself, and boredom and apathy is the reigning paradigm of our generation. Why is that? Because they need you. They are the sons of God groaning. Where is somebody that will link me to such divine purpose that I get out of bed every morning saying I'm going to do something that's going to change the world? What, you? You work at the grocery store. What, you? You work at the waste management company. Yes, but I am the world changer, and I am the one that God called me to make a difference. And I'm not buying into your self-love. I'm buying into God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave, that he gave, that he gave. When you love, you give. When you love, you go outside of self. When you love, you exit your own self and say, what can I do to help others? What is apathy? What is boredom? Let me say just a moment. Hey man, I'll tell you what Percy Walker said in his book. He said, boredom and apathy is self that is stuffed with self. And I love that definition. Gorging on myself. Just more of what I want. More of what I think. More of what I feel. But brother, when I get out of self and I begin to walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but I will walk in the Spirit. When I walk in the Spirit, there's now therefore no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit, but they begin to live in the joy of the Lord. You know where joy is? It's outside of yourself. You know where peace is? It's outside of yourself. It's in the altar. It's in the church. It's in the ministry. It's in the commitments that we make. So you ought to be biting at the bit right now. Amen. To say, hey, where do I sign up to be involved, Pastor? Amen. What is the next thing we're doing in this church? I want to be involved in it. I'll mow my lawn another day. I'll trim the bushes another day. But this is my chance to make all the difference in the world. And when you start living like that, amen, and dieting from self and weaning yourself from self, amen, it becomes invigorating. And all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you something. If you're struggling right now with what God will forgive you of and whether or not God is going to help you through this situation, my recommendation to you is go teach a Bible study. And I'm going to tell you, they may not come. And that old boy may sit there and look at you and say, I don't want any of it. But you just sit there for 30 minutes of your life telling them, but God loves you and God will do anything for you. And God wants to bless you and God wants to open doors. And God loves you and died for you and gave himself for you. And whether he takes it or not, when you walk out of that door, you're going to say, God, if you'll do that for that old boy that ain't going to praise you, how much more will you do for me? That's in the church saying, I love you. I praise you. I worship you. God, I believe you want to use me. And when we wean ourselves from self, we begin to live in higher purpose. And when we live in higher purpose, there's a hope that comes back to us. And we start emitting a joy. And it's just coming off of us. And people are saying, what's your deal? I'll tell you what my deal is. I'm the changer of the world that's fixing to fix problems. I believe the Holy Ghost is the answer to every situation in the world. Hey, you sing the old song, Jesus is the answer for the world today, and I still believe it. Every problem they got, Jesus is the answer. Every problem they have with depression, Jesus is the answer. They say, well, they need another this and another that. I'll tell you what Jesus is. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And when I bring my faces before God, all of my faces, because I don't just have a preacher face, you know, brother. I've got a face that gets aggravated when they cut me off in LA traffic. I got to bring that face to church. And I got to get a hold of that emotion and say, go ahead and get in the altar and let God shine on that right there. And I get aggravated with things and I get frustrated and it starts bogging me down and business starts and I get kind of a melancholy. I don't know if this is ever going to pull through. I got to get that spirit and I got to say, come on, face, you're going to church. Come on, bud, you're going to go stand before the face of the light of God and let the light of his countenance, shine on you. Man, when I get discouraged, and you're going to get discouraged. Don't buy into that deal that when you get in church, you're never going to be discouraged. Don't buy into that lie that when you walk in church, it's going to be cotton candy and $1 million. Amen. You're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. You're going to have struggles. And the devil's going to use all of that to come over on you and say, and you think you're going to fix anything. You can't fix this. You can't fix that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I believe that you can through the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe that when you look at your soul and say, soul, why are you disquieted? Hey, you, what's wrong with you? Remember how good God's been to you. Remember what the Lord's brought you out of. It's not that we don't have issues. It's not that we don't have struggles. But remember, Psalm 42 and verse 3 and 4 says, my tears have been my meat day and night. And while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul. For I had gone with them to the multitude and went to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and multitude that kept the holy day. You know what you got to do? You got to remember how good God's been to you. You can't just sit in there and say, now remember when I was happy. Let's go back to when I was peaceful. Let's go back to what I thought about this. Let's go back before this happened. To me. No, don't go into self. Remember how good that wonderful Jesus has been to you. You was in the lost miry clay. You were sinking. You had no hope. You were without God. You was a stranger and a pilgrim. You was separated, an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. You had no joy, no peace, no God. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, he found us. Don't reach inside of self to get the answer. Reach beyond yourself. Reach to a calling. The answer to bad church isn't no church. It's more church. It's good church. It's godly church. It's holy church. And without this sense of purpose, and without this sense of meaning, without a story, without a meta-narrative, this makes sense of our story, without a connection to the deeper reality of how and why we are made, whatever temporary work or pursuit will never be enough without linking us to the God call in our life. And when you get to where you're at right now, you make decisions in your life. Man, we spend too much time listening to ourselves. I was thinking, they tell me, I was thinking, and myself said, I tell myself, I don't care what you think, God's been good to you. That's what I'd say to myself. But what happens is when you only listen to yourself, this psalmist said, I talked to myself, I told myself, what's your problem? Why are you disquieted? What do you got to be down in the mully grubs for? God's been good to you. Quit talking in my... I'm going to tell you, listen to every thought that flies over your head and you let it build a nest in your head and live there. You'll be depressed and no church and no prayer room and no preacher and no message is going to bail you out. Because, brother, when you're living, sister, when you're living in spiritual depression, amen, you can't live in that 7 days a week and expect the three services a week we have to undo that. You got to have a prayer closet. You got to have a calling in your own life. Say, well, that's for them guys to be called. No, God's calling you tonight. I'm not ashamed of what I'm talking about. We need a calling revival in Pentecost. We need a spiritual awakening that says God wants you. I'll let the preachers do it. I'll let the pastor do it. Don't buy into that. That's so wrong. Hey, man, that's the devil trying to get you to be a flat Stanley version of Christianity. Come out of that pew and say, God, I accept that I'm called to preach. When's the last time? I don't know if you'll preach like this. I don't know if you preach like Pastor Sutton. I don't know if you preach like Brother Urshan. I'm telling you one thing. You are called to go out there on them streets and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you've got to take personal responsibility for that and say, that is my calling. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You got to talk to yourself right now. You got to get yourself by the nap of the neck and say, hey, buddy, you're not taking my joy. You're not taking my calling. Man, I may not be as educated as them, and I feel a lot of days like, God, what in the world? What business do I have doing what I'm doing? But I got to get a hold of me and say, let me tell you something. You laid on an altar one night with tears pouring down your face and said, God, I'll do anything for you. When's the last time you laid there and said, God, I'm not going to give up. I believe in what you called me to be. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Come out of, some of you are Hope Corps alumni, come out of ITW and now what? And go back to the church, but you forget that moment of spiritual transformation in that ITW when the men were down there. I've never been a director of one of those ITWs, but Brother Urshan has. It is powerful, isn't it? When they're laying there telling God, I'm going home to make a difference. But somewhere yourself got involved, and somewhere self starts talking to you. You're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. You got to talk to yourself and say, self, why are you like this? And when that call comes, and when the power of that call comes, and the power of the Holy Ghost is reaching, I want you. I want you. Oh, me? Me? What? They have them. Let them do it. No, no. We can have everybody here, but if you're not here, we're not what we're supposed to be. You can have a church of 400 people, but if only 398 of them are there, we can't live and be what we're supposed to be, because we need every single one of the images of God's creation to walk in here and say, Pastor, hey man, I'm here, and those that are behind me that I brought, your ministry now reaches through me to them, and without me, you couldn't preach to them. Am I telling the truth or not? Without you, how can he preach to them? He don't know your coworkers. He don't know who it is that lives. You've got to be that conduit. And the devil wants to tell you, oh, you're not going to do this. You can't buy into it. I'm telling you right now, buy into it. Buy into the fact that this church, do you go to New Life Church? Hey, man, you go to church here? Hey, man, come here. Let me talk to you a second. Hey, man, I want to tell you publicly. I want to tell you unashamedly and unabashedly in front of all these people. New Life cannot be New Life without you. We cannot do what we're called to do unless you're in your place doing what. And they're going to tell you that you're not important and you don't matter. But, brother, I'm telling you, you do. And when your soul gets cast down, you grab your soul and say, why are you cast down? Remember what God's done for you. Remember, he spoke to his soul. Preach to yourself. Reason with yourself. Don't wallow in self-pity. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Man, I'm opening this up this night, this altar, to tell you God wants you, young man. God wants you, young lady. Father, God wants you. Mother, God wants you. I don't care who you are. God wants every single one of you. And he's desperate for you not to fall in to yourself. Musicians, you can come. What would happen in this room if everyone made a commitment that I'm linking to a higher calling? I will not lay here. I will not stop here. I will not sit down in this, but I am somebody and I'm going to make a difference. Amen. The Holy Ghost is asking for you to go make a difference where you're at. The Holy Ghost needs you. Yes, we need your offering. Yes, we thank God that you're here. But you know what? It's a whole lot bigger than all that little stuff. I need your prayers. I need your worship. I need your confidence. I need your calling. I cannot be what I am unless you are who you are. And when we get to a place and we stand in a holy place and we say, God, what do you want out of me? Man, what do you want me to do? I'll tell you what he wants you to do. He wants you to surrender to the divine call of God in your life, whatever that is. He's calling for you. Where in the world, be careful, where in the world did we get this deal that because somebody tried to preach and wasn't called and it didn't work out good, now it's young men are afraid to accept a calling because what if I'm not? Let me tell you something. You accept a call and let God flesh that call out. You accept the call of God on your life and you let God give the definition to that. You let God add the body. You let God add the distinction to it. But you got to talk to yourself and say, listen, you're not going to make yourself different than that church. You're not going to stand there, brother. Don't stand there and look across the aisle and say, well, I'm different than that person. No, you're not. You're made in the image of God. And God is going to speak through you. I don't want to talk too much. They say, you know what? The world says talk is cheap. But guess what? In the church, it's priceless. Amen. This is the last place on planet Earth where talk matters. God is a speaking God. His people speak. They witness. They testify. They pray. They preach. They fellowship. They communicate one with another. This place matters. Oh, that doesn't count. That doesn't matter. Yes, it does. You got to buy into vision and say, God, I'm ready to go. Send me. I have no clue. What if he sends you right here? They just told me of a funeral that was preached in California where one of a legendary saint for years and years and years, unbelievably anointed. You know what? She would get in and pray and fast. Pray the glory, get down. She believed she was called to sing at altar calls. And that when she sang, she ushered people in to the commitment and presence of God. And they said, when they said in that funeral or in that place, stand up if you prayed through while she was singing. They said that place, it was just stood with people that said her ministry was what was a conduit for me. Brother, this church needs you. Sister, this church needs you. I want you to make your way to this altar with me tonight. I'm asking you on this first night. I'm just trying to put us on base here. This is a thing that you're empowered with. You get a hold of yourself tonight and tell yourself you quit that. You quit that stuff. You matter. You got enough power in you to change all of Birmingham. You got enough wisdom that man's put in you to go out there and change the communities you live in. You've got enough power and anointing your pastor's preached about. It's not just for you to come listen to him. It's for you to get it and go out and teach others, to teach others, to teach others. Come on, let the Holy Ghost call you right now. Deal with that melancholy. Deal with that unworthiness and say, God, I'm ready.
And that's what I
Somebody needs to take a step forward. Somebody needs to open up your heart and say yes. Hey, somebody needs to say yes. Somebody needs to cry out yes. Somebody needs to step out of where you've been living. It might have been good for a while, but it's not going to do for tomorrow. You got to come on over to where God wants you tonight. Come on. Come on. Somebody reach out. Somebody reach out and get a hold of what God has. Come on. God's looking for somebody tonight. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. I want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to really listen to God. I want you to let God speak down into your spirit tonight. Somebody can see something in this place tonight that you've never seen before. Somebody can hear something down in the depth of your spirit that you've never heard before. Somebody can get clarity. Somebody can get direction in this house tonight. Somebody can get a word from God right now in this altar. Somebody say, if you're not hooked up to somebody, reach over and lay your hand on somebody right now. Let what's moving here move in every vessel. Come on. I'll say yes, oh God. I want everybody in the house that has the Holy Ghost, you talk in tongues right now. You let that Holy Ghost inform. You let that Holy Ghost prophesy. You let that Holy Ghost speak over your life. Hallelujah. Let that Holy Ghost give it a voice. Give it some strength. Give it some volume. Let that Holy Ghost pray a prayer through you right now. Let that pour forth. Let that river of living water pour forth right there. Let's give him thanks. Let's praise him. Let's magnify. We magnify you, oh God. We worship you, oh God. We say yes. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Walker, for a word in this house tonight. In altar services just like this, people hear things that shape and change destinies. In services and in words just like this, people hear things that will change the destiny of their family and generations to come. I can't oversell the potency, the potential of what God has right now in this house and in this word. Thank you, Brother Walker, for a wonderful, wonderful first night at Power to Become. We're so glad to be in this house with this word tonight. Anybody here want God to just take hold of you and use you? Anybody want to be used? Anybody want to say yes? Hey, somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes, Lord. I agree. Praise God. We'll love on one another and be kind and share your victory with some folks before you leave. We're going to do this again in the morning. I think we crank about 10 o'clock. I believe that's the plan. And so we'll be back in the house before then for prayer. And then we'll have a good season of teaching in the morning. And then Brother Nathaniel Urshan's going to be in the house with us tomorrow night, breaking the bread. We're excited about that. We're so glad to see you. All the way down from northern Mississippi. Goodness gracious. God bless you. So good to be in the house with you tonight.